Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. Just don't set go.
The world is listening.
Gee, I hope nobody is taping this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the SNS Radio Network is proud to bring to you the Open Book.
Did you see that? Did you see that coming?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Where your source for all video game entertainment and wrestling news.
I know how to push your buttons too. I see everything you're going to do from a mile away.
With your host, Sensational Sequel Sean.
And I am the voice of the voiceless.
And the British one, Ashley.
What's the matter, Danny? You never taken a shortcut before?
So sit down.
What?
Shut up.
What?
And listen, because story time is about to begin.
Tell me he didn't just say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of New York.
Good morning. It's been brought to my attention that many rap artists claim that they run New York, but this is not the case. In fact, I wrote my own song about what it's really like. Please excuse the profanity in advance. Hit it.
I'm running New York!
New York, big city of dreams, and you know that I run this town.
I'm running!
King of the streets, dressed in concrete, skyscrapers on my crown.
Thank you.
What is up, boys and girls, children of all ages? Of course, you are right here with myself, one of the voices of the voice, Sensational Sequel, Sensational Spoiler, Sensational Sean. Of course, I am right here with you live on the open book. And that song right there, that was I Run New York by Lonely Island. They just had a new CD come out. It's not that good of a CD, in all honesty, but oh well. It's got some good parts to it, but it's not that good. I'll probably play a few songs from it here and there over the next couple of weeks, but we'll see. But of course, I am never alone on this show. I am joined by my co-host. He is the host of the whole indie show. He is the other voice of the you have multiple voices. You are the other voice of the voiceless. He is the British one. He is Ashley. Are you with me tonight?
He may be live, but I am pre-taped with thanks to JZ.
Whatever. I don't even care about that right now. I don't even care. To Bronx, go fuck yourself. Either way, we are definitely here with a doubleheader tonight, actually. We just had a special TNA chat live from Bronx to give the listeners a chance to talk about TNA. Tonight, we're actually skipping the entire wrestling part of the
Yeah. Treat TNA chat live as your wrestling segment for the open book of sorts.
Yeah, there you go. So tonight, we're actually going to talk a little Comic-Con. We're going to talk about a few different things in the first segment. Because this week is Comic-Con, of course. Because we have Comic-Con in the first part. We got some gaming in the second. And we got two reviews for great movies in the third part. And, of course, we have some more Comic-Con news. So, we got a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump straight in. I feel like there's something I need to talk about here. There's something that I wanted to bring up that I can't think about. I don't know why. And I just completely skipped my mind. You actually go ahead with your stories. I'm going to see if I can figure out whatever it was I wanted to talk about. So I'm going to throw it to you right quick while I try to think.
Okay, yeah, clearly this is where I talk about random shit. No. First thing I wanted to bring up was the whole X-Men stuff that got announced. I think they've had their panel. Oh, no, they haven't had their panel yet, I think. I think it's coming up tomorrow, or it's probably happening as we speak, so I'm going to have to check the updates by segment three. That's the problems of going on now, because I think kind of Comic-Con still partly in full flow for its second day, but something did get spotted by quite a few fans there, and we've had the first unveiling of the Sentinels, which are going to be created by Peter Dinklage's character. Train, is it, from what I remember?
Train from... Oh, from X-Men. I'm sorry. Is he known as Train in the movie?
Who's the small guy? It's Train Industries or something, isn't it? Who's the small midgety guy? No, not Bishop. Bishop's black. That's not supposed to sound racist, but it's just the picture. Oh, okay. Shifty is saying Bishop features in Wolverine, because this was the big thing that was revealed as well. There is a scene at the end of Wolverine after the credits, which is a scene directly, apparently, from Days of Future Past.
Oh, hold on one second. I do have something to say. L-Train just tweeted. He was just on the last show, if you didn't hear him. So he's going to try to derail us today. Catch the open book with the Masters of Geekdom, Sensation Sean at Ashes My Name UK, now live on the SNS Radio Network. We now are known as the Masters of Geekdom, apparently.
I still prefer Voices of Voiceless.
I'm gonna stay with that term.
Okay, Trask. Everybody's like, Trask. Hey, remember, what we're saying has got about a 30-second, 45-second delay to what's being put in chat, so yeah, bear with us if we don't get it exactly right. But, so yeah, Bolivar, yep. Trask.
It looks like the, I'm looking at IGN stuff.
Bishop's not in Wolverine's Professor X's.
I'm looking at IGN, all their stuff. Apparently, on Saturday, they actually have a discussion with Kevin Feige and a discussion with Joey Esposito? I don't really know. At 4 o'clock and 4:15, so that's pretty cool. But I don't see anything about a panel, so...
They might have had it, I'm not sure.
I'll have to keep looking. You keep covering some stuff.
Yeah, but the Sentinels, the shot that we have seen of the Sentinels, it seems to be is kind of, whether that is actually how they're going to look with a sort of glass helmet around them, it kind of looks sort of iRobot Terminator-ish the way it looks, but it does still look like the original designs that you've seen for the Sentinels in the comic books and the video games and everything. So they're being pretty faithful there. So, but I think another thing they revealed is Havoc is going to be returning. And the picture that they showed was of him seemingly in an army-style appearance, which obviously ties into the Days of Future Past story where some of the characters get put into concentration camps. Which, of course, is interesting because of the whole history of Magneto and everything. So, yeah, certainly, what I've seen of it, the pictures and the reveals, does look pretty nice. And the fact that Wolverine is pretty much is your teaser for it, despite the fact Wolverine's supposed to be set after Days of Future Past, I think.
Okay. I just found something interesting.
Oh, this is what he was looking for, people.
No, this was something I just happened upon.
Oh, this is different.
I got the entire cast for the entire movie. That picture we kept seeing, that picture we kept trying to figure out who was in the...
Oh, the wall with the bulletin board.
Yes. I have the entire list now. I just found it. I'm going to go through this right quick because I do want to... Because some of this, I didn't even know. Of course, we got James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender as Professor X and Magneto. We have Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Jennifer Lawrence plays Raven Darkholm, Mystique. Ian McKellen plays older Magneto. Patrick Stewart plays older Professor X. Halle Berry is back playing a Storm. Nicholas Holt is, of course, as Beast. Ellen Page is back as Shadow Cat, a.k.a. Kitty Pryde. And a Paquin is, of course, back as Rogue. Sean Ashmore is back as Bobby Drake, Iceman. Fan Bing Bing is Clarice Ferguson, a.k.a. Blink. Daniel Cudmore is Pyotr Rasputin, a.k.a. Colossus. And then, of course, you have Peter Dinklage, Omar Sy, and Boo Boo Stewart, who we do not know who they are.
Yes, we do.
Who are they?
Dinklage is, the name was just put in chat, and I've just, oh, there we go. Bolivar Trask, the builder of the Sentinels.
Hmm. I know that,
And isn't Oliver Try Bishop?
Oliver Try, I don't have that name on my list.
I don't remember
Omar
the name.
Omar
Sy, I think that's Bishop. And they've just revealed whoever the guy that played Havoc is also in it.
I'm very curious about this entire thing. It looks really good. And I'm hoping they add to it. I'm hoping to see a little Rogue. See a little bit of that Cage's style come out. So I'm looking forward to seeing Colossus. I'm looking forward to Anna Paquin. I'm looking forward to Ellen Page, of course. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart are going to do. I really want to see what their part
is. Have you seen the new images that have come out of them?
They look like they're about to go to war.
Mm-hmm. They've got their armor on and everything.
The promo photos, yeah. It looked like about to go
with Bishop with the M above his eye and Colossus.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I am very curious.
Shifty says Havoc was confirmed months ago, but it was... I think he was confirmed, but the singer put on his Twitter this week an actual picture from filming it.
Oh, Brian Singer on Twitter. Look at that. That's the next next post. Look at that. Ooh, what is this? Look, that's interesting. Maximoff. There's that. A letter from the White House. I'm sorry, I'm just going through these. It's very interesting.
Right, should I put it on something else quickly?
Yeah, go ahead and go with... I'm looking at some of this stuff. I mean, this is just really interesting. There's Jennifer Lawrence in the blue. Peter Dinklage with a mustache. Go ahead.
Riddick had its unveiling today, and... people were going, why has it got an R rating? Well, apparently, from the stuff that they did show, there is a lot more violence in this one. It's probably going a lot more gritty, more towards, I guess, the video games. Because weren't they rated R?
Rated M, you mean?
Rated M, yeah. Rated M in the video game terms. But yeah, there was adults only kind of thing, weren't they?
Yeah. To a certain point.
Certainly seems to be more of a serious turn there, considering the rating. Obviously, we can't talk a lot about this, because not all of it was revealed, but one thing that was revealed is the teaser trailer for Series 4 of Walking Dead. Which looks damn good, which isn't a surprise, because it's Walking Dead.
I haven't seen it. But
it is out and about.
I know, one of my coworkers at GameStop today actually, he went and watched it and started shaking when he came back out. Like, he was freaking out. So
I don't want to know where he went to see this trailer.
I don't know. I didn't ask questions.
Because where did he come out and start shaking? It's like, oh dear. Not going there. And this is probably one thing that you definitely want to bring up. The poster that got unveiled earlier this week for Godzilla.
Yes. The poster, if I could find it again, I didn't. I don't know where I saw it. I know I saw it on the Facebook page. And I
Judging from what the image is, it's about from bottom of the tail to like the bottom of its head, it looks to be about 700 helicopters long.
That's the length we're going with?
Well, we can't really do a proper scale.
It's Godzilla.
Because we don't know how long the helicopters are. The only thing we have on that poster to scale is the helicopters to Godzilla. And I do like the fact Godzilla has got the kind of stegosaurus sort of scales on him.
He's always had that. His spikes is what they were. He's always had those, no matter what. Even Gojira, he had them. It's always been about the spikes, because the spikes actually helped him. No, he's had a good amount. He's always had that spike that actually helped him build the radioactive up to get the breath, to give the all of that. So, I mean, he's always had that. So, I mean...
I see those spikes in that one scene where he does, like, the Highland jig.
What?
There is a scene in one of, like, the 60s or 70s Godzilla movies. I can't remember which one. But after he defeats the baddie, or sees it off, he does, like, a Highland jig.
Okay, I've never seen that.
It's completely random. If people can... it features on one of Angry Video Game Nerd's Godzilla phone videos, and I can't remember which one. But it was one of them, basically, because they needed to find something for the guy in the rubber suit to do, other than fight.
Yeah. That, unfortunately, was a big thing back then. It's I'm looking very forward, because I hated... let me take that back. I really liked the one for the American version, the last one. I liked it. But it wasn't a true Godzilla form. It wasn't a true Godzilla movie. As soon as I heard about this one and saw the picture. I was all about it. This is one that I'm looking very forward to because I want to see how they're going to go. If this is going to be a possibility of a sequel compared to this, if there's going to be more. I want Godzilla. I really want Godzilla. I'm looking very forward to this, and I don't care what happens. I want my kaiju.
Something I'll do as a little side mention here, because I know Sean isn't hugely interested in this, but amazingly, despite the fact the Kickstarter finished only a couple of months ago, the Veronica Mars people already had footage that they showed at Comic-Con of the continuing story, roughly leading where it left off kind of thing, except she's now, rather than a teen investigator, she's actually in the police force and everything. And she's going back for like a high school reunion thing, and it drags her, you know, she comes back into the... Something weird goes on, and unsurprisingly, and she's investigating it kind of thing. Which fits, because that's the kind of reason that you'd have to do a one-off movie. I'm still surprised, though, that they managed to get some of it in the can so quick enough that people could see it. Which I think says quite a lot for them, because that means they're probably going to have it turned over in about a year. Which, for a movie which has got the amount of funding that it has done, it is pretty impressive in that capacity, I will say that. But,
I just found Screen Rant. And they have a lot of the pictures up, and they've got some of the original concept images. Absolutely beautiful pictures, absolutely beautiful shots. They have the poster, which is what I was looking for.
This is of Godzilla, by the way, people, not Veronica Mars.
No, I'm sorry. I went backwards a little bit. They have the pictures from Comic-Con. All the pictures me and you were talking about at during the pre-show, they have all of those. And one of the really cool things that I absolutely went nuts for, I mean, Ashley can say that, they have one of the original props from Gojira from 1954. It was the weapon of mass destruction that was necessary evil created to destroy the king of monsters, a.k.a. Gojira. As soon as I saw this, I really wish that I had been in San Diego so I could see that in person. Godzilla is one of those things that I have loved since I was a kid. I mean, I used to wake up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning just to watch the 60s version of Godzilla in a very horrible dub. But still, TNT, TBS at the time, amazing channel when it had with that. But the picture has been, it looks great. It looks like it's going to be a classic style film. And I applaud them. Apparently, they're calling it Godzilla Encounter Experience. So, that's what they're calling the entire area where they took over the ballroom in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. I hope to find the... wow, that's pretty awesome. I've just taken aback by everything. Apparently, Shifty says in chat that apparently there's going to be 5 monsters in Godzilla. That's kind of interesting. I'm wondering what they're going to have. I mean, we've got Mothra, we've got Rodan, we've got Ghidorah, King Ghidorah, Mechagodzilla. I mean, we've got all of these great monsters.
Special guest appearance by Ultimate Warrior.
I was going to say special guest appearance by King Kong, who then gets thrown off the Empire State Building.
Is Godzilla a Universal film?
Yes.
Did you do that in Bane voice?
Yes?
What?
I'm trying to figure out. I don't think it is. I think it's legendary.
You want to have King Kong in
there? Well, you know. I'm sorry. It's a Legendary Films, which is owned...
just because of all the jibes that JJ's been doing at you on Unplugged.
Oh, why do I get feeling I'm going to get fired this week?
Jump onto some Spider-Man news. Amazing Spider-Man.
Go ahead.
They've pretty much just had their panel, basically explaining why Electro isn't in his green and yellow suit. And basically, the aim is we want this to be a serious kind of character. There's no kind of humor to this. He feels he's been done wrong. He wants revenge, hence why he's a black man that's turned blue or something. So,
by the way, they found your dance for you. Daniel Browder found it. Daniel Browder found your dance for you.
Okay.
He put it on the Facebook page, so you got something to look at.
Right.
Good job, Daniel.
Ta very much, but... Now, the big controversy about Spider-Man was Mary Jane getting shelved. Which was Shailene Woodley, who was... Some of you might know her from... She was the kind of co-lead actress in The Descendants. But basically she said the reason why she isn't in it is if you looked at the original script, she was only going to be in 4 scenes. And they felt that it wasn't fit. They didn't feel right to have 2 major female characters in the same film. It makes sense for there to be 1 in the second and 1 in the third. Which probably hints at what happens... to that might give away what happens at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2. Oh my word. Bye bye Gwen Stacy.
Probably.
Yeah. But apparently the plan is for her to be in the 2017 Spider-Man 3. But obviously we don't know who's in that other than really her. They're going to push it to them.
Something I'll bring up, hold on, something I'll bring up is apparently we've been confirmed for a Family Guy and Simpsons crossover. It actually is going to be titled The Simpsons Guy, and we'll see the Griffins take a road trip and end up in Springfield, and it's scheduled to be broadcast in the U.S. next autumn, most likely during Sleeps Week, of course. So we'll probably see it in... the week before or after Treehouse of Horror. So, yeah.
Little bit of Game of Thrones news. And that is Mark Gatiss, who's written a few of the Doctor Who and Sherlock episodes, will be appearing in season 4 in a character that's yet to be announced. But those of you that have read the books might be able to work out who it is, I'm not sure. I haven't read the book, so I can't go into any more detail on that. Kick-Ass 2. Quite a lot of interesting stuff from that. We had, I guess, some sort of reveal today which wasn't properly announced or to us public because it's only for the people that attended. But apparently the person playing Mother Russia, Olga Kirkulina, apparently knows no English. At all. They just chose her because, yeah, she looks like a big woman. She'll do for the role. Pretty much. And I don't think Mother Russia, even her character, speaks in any English either, so. From what I vaguely know of the...
I did hear a few things, by the way, before we jump into something else. I did hear that the entire cast that was there was very sad because of Jim Carrey not being able to be there and because of what he said. Because of most of what he said. So they were very... They were let down, I think, is what is a better thing to say. So
that didn't get mentioned in the bit that I saw, but I can see that. Because the thing is, what if that is one of the biggest draws that Jim Carrey's ever been in?
And it could be. I mean, it could be. It really could. It sucks. I wish he hadn't said what he said, but I wish he hadn't felt the way he felt. Excuse me. But
you know, I like his advocation for gun safety, but it's just the way that he kind of condemned the film, yet starred in it, although his character didn't even use a gun anyway. He just used a... Isn't it an axe handle that he uses?
I think so, I'm not sure.
Without the blade on?
I believe so. To people in chat, he basically set up the film was too violent. He didn't appreciate how violent the film was, and he felt that he wished he hadn't done it.
Due to the shooting at Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
He didn't feel it was appropriate to have children going around with guns and weapons. Meanwhile, Hunger Games... sorry, I had to go there.
It's okay, go ahead.
Oh, wait, that's different. They use bows and arrows.
Eh. They have guns, I believe. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Keep going.
Well, some news that... not entirely Comic-Con related, but it relates to Kick-Ass 2, because the writer-director... I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but it was announced this week that not only is he apparently being approached by Sony to do a film called Go Fast, which is apparently an action film, but also he's going to be doing the writing and directing for an adaptation of the X-Force comics for 20th Century Fox.
Hmm.
So he's busy.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't think they were really going to be going in that way. Huh.
He hasn't seen Blood Diamond. Yeah. Nate makes a good point. He hasn't seen Blood Diamond. Somehow, I don't think Jim Carrey will be buying Metal Gear Solid 5 either. In that capacity. If you've seen the trailers, Children with Guns.
Eh.
It's not a great picture. The big thing that I definitely want to talk about is Sherlock. They had their big reveal tonight due to the delay that happened due to the tennis a few weeks back. Tonight they revealed the second and the third words of the title. Now, what it was is... This is clever because...
Hold on. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there's going to be spoilers for the next few minutes, so I don't know what Sean's going to do, considering he hasn't even seen Series 2, which I'm going to talk about.
It's called The Whore Has Problems. Okay, we're done. Go ahead.
It's called... Well, no, they revealed last week that the first line was his, and everyone thought, oh my word, it's his last bow. It's the last book. That's it. It's going to be done. Rewind back to last August. They talked about how the three episodes, which weren't titled at that point, had three themes, which could... The words that they gave was rat, wedding, and bow. I think that's what people use to try and put two and two together. Except in that interview, they said what those words might be complete swerves as to what they actually are relating to, and none of those words are in the title. So if that's the case, how can it be his last bow? So tonight it got unveiled, and it's his last vow. V-O-W. You dropped the B for a V, but we finally got the title for it. The thing that they did at Comic-Con, which really apparently Hall H as it is, was packed. Arguably more packed for that than some of the other appearances that they've had, that really seems to have got a good cult following, which is brilliant because it deserves to. It was Benedict Cumberbatch's birthday, and he
was getting drunk.
No, he wasn't there. Both he and Martin Freeman weren't there. I'm guessing possibly because of Hobbit, but it might be due to other filming commitments because Cumberbatch is busy. If you've seen the trailer for the movie Fifth Empire, where he plays Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, he is really becoming an actor that's one to watch in anything and everything. But Cumberbatch came on and said, okay, I'm now going to okay, this is spoilers as well, certainly for Sean. I'm now going to reveal how Sherlock Holmes survived from faking his own death at the end of season 2. And then he pulled out two toy monkeys and tried to explain it. And then just as it looks like he was going to say something, the feed went to static. And good old Moffat and Gatiss, as if they're going to do it, and then no. And then apparently Martin Freeman's video was him and his hobbit ears basically saying, if any of you are in the crowd, pull all the clothes off Gatiss and Moffat. Don't know why he said that, but he did. They also showed a clip which nobody is saying anything about. They are keeping it sworn to secrecy, which is brilliant, because I don't want to know really anything about it. I want to go in as blind as I can. They did kind of reveal, though, that Moriarty will not be coming back.
Hold on. Hold on one flipping second. I'm looking at chat. One post has got to be brought up on this show right quick. Bronx has just put he's doing sexual favors to his power company to pay for his AC being on. Now, I got one thing
it's
to say.
It's Panther Energy.
So Bronx is getting it from behind from Hulk Hogan. I knew it. I knew something was up. That's why he did TNA chat tonight.
Panther Energy. They paid him off.
Bronx has been paid off by Panda
now
Energy.
I'm waiting for
the
go fuck yourself in retaliation now from Bronx.
Dad, Bronx should go fuck himself. Go ahead, Ashley.
But yeah, nothing got revealed from the clip, but apparently it is entertaining, and it's the good light humor that the previous two series of Sherlock have been. There's no real confirmation as to when this is going to be aired. Some are saying this year, possibly towards November time-ish. Some are saying right at the start of next year from like New Year's Day. So we'll have to wait and see, but I'm really looking forward to it and how they explain everything. But one of the big things that I know that, because I think you mentioned it before, Sean, what got revealed, I don't know if it got revealed at Comic-Con, but I actually saw it from a video from Andre the Black Nerd from YouTube. Basically, he went to the Shout Factory, and it was their 10-year anniversary, and there was a box that said on the side, do not open till 2023, sorry. I think it said. Okay. And it said 28th anniversary on the side. And people were going, well, what's in the box? And it was just this whole thing about what's in the box. And it got opened and somehow it transported him to Comic-Con. And then it was revealed. And it's the Power Rangers Legacy set. Every single episode of Power Rangers ever made, right from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in 93 to Power Rangers Megaforce in 2013, across 98 DVDs.
Shite.
Six of which are special features, and it'll be... I'm trying to think. It's coming out December 3rd, 2013, I think, to coincide with the 20th anniversary, exactly. But... it also is encased in a replica red Power Ranger helmet kind of head thing. Sean is saving up right now.
No, I do want it. I'm not going to lie. I really am not going to lie. I don't even care about anything after... I don't know. Son of a bitch.
He doesn't care about sons of bitches. Wow.
I don't care about the end stuff. All the stuff they've done in the past little while, I don't care. I want that first couple of years. That's all I care about. Everything else, awesome, cool, whatever. I also want that replica helmet. I want that replica helmet. And I'm surprised that the actor who played Tommy, he's been posting a lot of stuff on Facebook recently. I'm really surprised he didn't post a picture of it. I haven't seen anything from him today.
Nate talks about the gay-ass Power Ranger. I think that was unofficial. I don't think the...
I think Nate needs to keep his own fantasies to himself and just let the Power Rangers be the Power Rangers.
What was the name of that wrestler? Gay Avenger. That's it.
Oh, you mean Crowley's alternative identity?
Alter ego.
There you go. Alter ego. I couldn't think of the word. I am looking forward to it. Did they say how much it's going to be?
No. Well, they might do on Shout Factory's website. I might have to check that during the break if it is there available for pre-order.
You hold on 1 second. I'll take a look right now.
Okay. Well, I'll do one thing. You might remember last week how we talked about, and this is probably the last thing before we head to break because it's the last Comic-Con related news. You might remember that there was all that Predator related stuff going around last week, teasing something to be revealed at Comic-Con, and everyone was going, oh, is this a new movie? This could be really interesting. And it turns out what it was is just something to do a 3D Blu-ray launch of the original Predator. Which is pretty cool, I guess, but the coolest thing is only to people that are actually at Comic-Con. And that is, you can have a 3D scan, or something 3D printed, which is basically the Predator holding up your decapitated head in its hand. Which is pretty damn cool, I will say that. That was the most interesting bit, and it's only available to the people at Comic-Con.
Damn. So apparently if I click on their Comic-Con thing, I get taken to No Prior Restraint, which is Richard Pryor's DVD set. So apparently they're messed up on their stuff. I'm going to see if I can...
Okay, Nate's saying Xbox One got booed off Comic-Con. Did it?
Who knows? He's mad because I made fun of him. Who cares? You know what? We'll talk about the Xbox One in the second segment. I've got some stuff to say.
I've got some interesting thoughts as well regarding one of their big launch games.
Now I'm curious to hear what that is. Power Rangers website. Let's see what we got. Megaforce 20. Wow, 20 years of Power Rangers, and they got the original. They have Tommy, who is front and center with the White Ranger, and then they have all the Red Rangers. That's pretty cool. Let's see what we got. I'm just enjoying the history of this. It's crazy. Apparently,
he's geeking out literally.
I am. I really am. This is pretty awesome.
Geeking out like crazy.
Let's see if the shop has anything. No, of course the shop doesn't.
It's not available until December, so I don't think the pre-order will probably go up until
You think they somebody have a picture of it. You think they would have a picture somewhere. But nobody has... Oh, wait, there it is.
Nobody has a picture. Oh, wait, there it is.
Well, it took me... Nope, not even a picture there. Yahoo has failed me once again. Yahoo, you suck.
I have to find Andre the Black Nerd's video.
By the way, did anybody hear that Yahoo apparently got tacked?
Did they?
They were down yesterday for a while, and I've been told that they got attacked. Possibly by Anonymous, because of what they're doing against Tumblr. So I'm not sure. I've heard a few different things, but I mean, if that's the case, it's very interesting that they would go out and do that. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen anything yet. I haven't That's the only thing I've heard. And yes, Brass, I still use Yahoo, okay? Tommy Oliver, Jason David Frank, that's the name. Jason David Frank's been posting a lot recently about Power Rangers, about going to Comic-Con, and I'm surprised he hasn't posted anything today about this whole thing, so I'm a little surprised. I may have to do a little bit of digging into that, but no one's got any pictures of anything. So, I don't know. I don't know. Anything else we want to bring up on this segment? There it is. Never mind. Hold on. Hold on. You stop for a second. Thank you to Serle and Disney who just posted the picture in the chat. I like that picture. It is, of course, the original T-Rex helmet. Yes. 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 I do want it. I do want it. Go ahead, Ashley. I apologize.
No, that was it.
Okay, so I mean, if that's it, we'll end up taking a quick break. We'll be back with some gaming. We have a lot to talk about. I definitely want to talk about some stuff. I've got some comments to make. I wish I just hit that button. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with you with, of course, more Open Book.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, and I'll see you at the matches. It's go time!
Gentlemen, SNS Unplugged has returned to the airwaves. You can check out the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, and of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as they discuss the happenings from Monday Night Raw, NXT, the latest news of the week, sponsored by our good friends over at wrestling-online.com. And then things get a little interesting as the topics could change from week to week, including topics such as the supernatural, conspiracy theories. Basically, whatever the hell these guys want to talk about, they're going to cover it every Tuesday night right here on the SNS Radio Network. SNS Unplugged is back, baby. Uncensored. Unbelievable. Unplugged.
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest-running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years. It's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
And welcome back, guys. Of course, this is The Open Book with myself, one of the voices of the voiceless, Sensational Sequel, Sensational Spoiler, Sensational Sean. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, the British one, the other voice of the voiceless, Ashley. Very, very interesting commercial break. As we went to commercial break, my computer had a bit of a hiccup. I've lost my desktop for a moment. It's coming back up. I've lost everything that I was wanting to talk about in this segment, so I'm going to throw it to Ashley. We're going to get through some stories right quick. We're going to have a couple debates. Might have even have a rant. Who knows what's going to happen in this segment? I do know I'm going to piss somebody off. So let's go ahead and throw it over to Ashley so we can see what he's got, and so we can kick some ass.
Well, let's start off some good news. No. Earthbound is now available on the Wii U.
I want bad news. Last. Give me bad news.
You want bad news?
Oh, wait. I've got it. Bad news. Bronx is still in chat. Crap.
Bad news, Microsoft Surface. Yeah, let's get to that, then.
Hold on. Let's paraphrase this for a second. Microsoft Surface RT. You need to specify, because there are two versions of the Surface out.
You got retweeted? What?
Funny. There's two versions of the Surface. There's a Pro, and then there's the RT, which is the basic.
All I know is Surface sales overall
are horrible.
Lost them $900 million.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely
horrendous. That might explain the price cut.
Yeah, but it's still not a good tablet. I mean, it's... The RT is not that good of a tablet. I've looked at it. If I buy one, I'm going to buy the Pro. The Pro looks good. It's fast. It's bigger. It's got a. It's got the whole keyboard cover thing. I mean, and it's better. I mean, it's got Windows 8, unfortunately, but it's still a better tablet than the RT. What RT is? So I still wouldn't get the RT unless I was only going to use it for Netflix, Amazon, or just watching movies from a video card. So.
Yeah. But one thing that also really pissed me off this week, and it isn't anything to do with Microsoft, it's bloody Ubisoft. They came out and have basically said they don't care about original games anymore. For them, they're only now interested in franchises. Which clearly then hints that Watch Dogs is going to become a franchise.
Of course it will. Why wouldn't it?
Well, it's kind of like The Last of Us. Do you want to see that become a franchise? Or do you want to see it prefer to be there as a standalone game?
It's... Last of Us still, either way, had one of those things where you're kind of like, yeah, no. At the end of it, I was glad I was done. I mean, I'm going to straight up say it like that. When I finished the game, I was glad I was done. It was an amazing game, but I didn't want it to continue. I wanted it to be done. I really hope they don't make any more. I know that sounds bad, but I don't want any more from it. So.
Yeah. And depending what happens with Watch Dogs, I'd kind of want to see just that as well. Because what happens then is I don't want this to just be kind of an Assassin's Creed ripoff. Which in essence would be basically you play as a different character every time. And look at their story.
Yeah, no.
Which I fear is the way they're going to take it. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. It's okay if you see it from like multiple different views, like Walking Dead 400 Days does, but even that just does it in 2 hours. It doesn't try and make a series out of it. So, another thing that Ubi said is they won't have any sort of games conference at Gamescom, which I think is next month in Germany.
I do have a problem with Ubisoft a little bit for a second before we continue. The fact that all of their collector's editions are $130 freaking. The reason why I bring this up is because Assassin's Creed got their collector's edition. What did it come with? It comes with my flag, the one I've been waiting for. I'm very happy about that. But it's $130 freaking. Could be $100, it could have been fine. Watch Dogs, we got the collector's edition of that. No hat, not happy about that. But then we get the statue, we get the mask. Okay, I'm fine with that. $100, nope, $130, don't care anymore. I'm still getting it, but why have I got to pay $130? Seriously. I'm tired of paying $130
for that, but I don't even know.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's a problem. Ubisoft just wants your money. I like their games. I love the games. Believe me, I love them. But at least let me be able to keep some money. So.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, I'm getting it. I'm getting both. I want the flag from Black Flag. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. But. Seriously. It's just, I need to keep my money. I want my money.
Another piece of bad news is apparently Nintendo have trademarked two names that seem to be related to a sequel to Seaman.
Wait, never mind. I was going to make a bad joke. Never mind.
If you remember Seaman, it came out for...
You know
Dreamcast.
What? Hold on. Stop. Just skip the story. Just skip the story. We don't need to know anything about this. Just skip it.
Hey, Leonard Nimoy. That made him a lot of money.
I'm sure it did, but just skip the story. We don't care about it. Nobody cares.
To some people, it was better seeing him in that than the Star Trek reboot.
Look, just because Mind Wipe and Walkie want that, doesn't matter. But I don't want to hear about this. They can all go enjoy their own Seaman or whatever, but...
All we know is they've trademarked the name, so whether it becomes anything, we'll have to wait and see. But the thing that really... Well, it pissed off the internet, but I'm not sure...
It's always pissed off.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it pissed off me hugely. Is Forza Motorsport 5... And the announcement that it's going to require a day one patch of sorts. And by patch, I mean as soon as you log on to the game, you will download the cars, the tracks, and like parts and stuff. Stuff which is essential to the game. Which you can only be accessed when you log into your Drivatar account. Which basically means you can't play the game offline.
Well, technically, once you download the patch, you can.
You have to, in order to use those assets, you have to be logged into the Drivatar account, which is separate to your Xbox account.
Well, basically what they want is they want you to go ahead and get your account set up so that when you are offline, you can actually, they'll be collecting the data to send off to the Dravatar thing. As soon as you log back in, it'll send everything up to the Dravatar. Basically, as soon as it's good to go. You don't have to worry about anything else. You once you download that first patch, most games are going to have the day one patch, though. I know this is a different thing. I know. But it's one of those things where you're looking at it and you're kind of like, day one, you got to download all this crap. You're downloading basically the first time. You're downloading the first Dravatar. You're downloading the entire cloud thing. Just go with it. Stop questioning things. Just download it and be done.
Other stuff has had day one patches as well, hasn't it?
A lot of stuff's had day one patches.
I'm trying to think which was the one. There was one that had an immediate patch. It wasn't WWE, was it? It was something like that. It was one of the big games.
There's been a lot of PS3 games that have day one patches. There's been a lot of 360 games that have had day one patches. Hell, the Wii U had a 2-hour
patch.
That's
it.
First day.
The Wii U, when it launched, had a patch even before it launched. There you go.
And if you didn't download it, your system was a brick.
Yep.
So, I mean, seriously, you're going to whine about a stupid patch from Xbox One when...
You had all those horror stories where people lost internet connection midway through that download.
Yeah.
And then it literally became a brick.
I mean, seriously, don't complain about the Xbox One when the Wii U was something real. Seriously.
Yeah, at least that's a patch for the actual, just a game. The Wii U required a patch for the entire bloody console.
Yeah.
We'll say that, and then both PS4 and Xbox One will have day one patches.
They probably will. Well, I mean, okay, this is something we've had talks about in the store before. The Xbox One will have a patch day one. They've already said that. The reason why it's going to be is so that when people do turn on their console, all the stuff that has been put on, all those blocks, will be taken off. Basically because you've got to be able to connect to your Xbox Live account either way. You have to connect to your Xbox Live account to bring up your account, so everything is going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. But straight up, what's going to happen is the day one patch is going to update all of the OS stuff. It's going to update all of the architecture in the system. It's going to update the Wi-Fi and everything to make sure that that you won't have any problems connecting. I mean, there's going to be a lot of problems with the consoles. It's the first console in 8 years. Well, not counting the Wii U, but no one really cares about that right now. Both consoles are going to have problems. We know this for a fact. So we're just going to go with it, basically because day one patch, it's going to try to fix all the problems that they are there before it ships out. There's going to be things that you're going to find when the consoles ship out and they're sitting in storage somewhere. They're going to find problems. They're going to be like, oh crap, we can't fix this now. We need to put a patch out immediately. So they'll all be putting patches out as soon as the console comes out. So, you know what? The whole Kinect Online, you know what? Okay. Bronx is starting to get me in that mood. Basically, the whole Kinect Always Online, you can turn that off. Seriously. It's been said multiple times. You can turn off the fucking Kinect. You may not care that they said that.
You won't be able to soon.
Well, there may not even be a Kinect in the box.
Well, it may not be a Microsoft Kinect. Well, apparently Apple is trying to buy them out.
What?
The people that made the Kinect, which I guess was some sort of out-of-house studio from Microsoft, Apple are trying to buy them.
Huh. That's interesting. So
clearly they think augmented reality is the future. Because that's practically what the Kinect is.
there's a lot of things I want to say right now to Bronx, and I'm not going to say it because I know it's going to piss me off. No, because it's going to piss me off, and I'll probably end up pissing him off. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna minimize chat.
That's enough bad stuff. Let's talk about good stuff. Batman Arkham Origins trailer got put up today, and a new assassin is revealed, and it's Copperhead.
Yes. I want to talk about this for a second. Copperhead was announced. The big thing is Copperhead was a guy. And they've announced that it's going to be a female now. We've never known what the real name the Copperhead was. But he's always had a very interesting style. The new one, the female version, is very interesting because it's a contortionist. It's a stunt person. They took three people to make this whole person. It took a stunt person, it took a martial artist, and it took a contortionist. The video is amazing. I love the video they put out for her. It's really cool. Now, the thing is, because it was a guy, how are they going to do this? I mean, because Copperhead was in a snake costume. He was always in a snake costume. He was always had this really weird stuff. He sold his soul later on in the comics and became basically a snake man hybrid type of thing. I mean, it was weird because he looked more like a snake, but he was a biped. Later on in the comics, he was killed by Manhunter, and he was laid to rest in the Hall of Justice. In the morgue, not in the cemetery, in the morgue. It's weird because I'm really curious as to how they're going to do this, but I'm not sure. I want to know how they're going to bring her in. So I'm a little interested in that.
A couple of the Comic-Con related stories. They've Namco have announced that Soul Calibur 2 HD Online will be coming this fall, which I'm approving of because, to be quite honest, Soul Calibur 2 I think is the strongest of the series that they did. Certainly the one that I had most fun of on the PS2. I didn't really play 3, and it didn't seem that good. Possibly because 2 had just seemed more pick-up-and-play style kind of thing. The big thing that wasn't unveiled at Comic-Con is Capcom announces a new Strider game at bloody last. Will be coming 2014 for both current and next-gen, although not Wii U. As a digital download. And interestingly, it's from the team at Double Helix. So it's from the same guys that are currently doing the Killer Instinct reboot as well. And from what they did unveil in like the teaser trailer, it looks to be kind of doing a Killer Instinct DuckTale sort of approach. Updating the classic thing, but, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. So, I'm good for that. Amazon France has apparently posted up that Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus could be coming out for the Vita. So, I'm guessing that means we could be seeing cross-play on that, which isn't surprising because it is a Sony game. Michelangeli, the producer of Battlestar Galactica, is apparently working with Sony Santa Monica on an unannounced project. So whether that could be some sort of space thing or whether it's God of War 4, who knows. Borderlands 2 DLC will be announced tomorrow.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a second. I just found that story. Why? Is Gearbox just looking for more money? Why?
Apparently they aren't finished.
Well, the big thing is this is no longer the rest of this DLC is not part of the season pass.
Not the original season pass.
There's no even comment of a new season pass. That's the problem.
We'll find out tomorrow. If you're listening to us before Saturday, you'll already know.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll have to see what it's announced and what it is. I'm intrigued because the Dungeons and Dragons ripoff. Oh no, the Dungeons and Dragons homage, should I say?
I saw it on Dragon Keep.
Yeah, was very good.
I haven't played it. I've got. Okay, I might as well say this now. I bought it on the Steam sale. It was $10. I bought Season Pass for $20. I've downloaded it all, and I have yet to play it. That is what the Season Pass is. Season Pass is you buy all these games, you install them, and you don't play them. That's pretty much what it feels like now. But we'll talk about the Season Pass Steam Summer Sale in a minute.
Story got unveiled for Battlefield 4. Basically, it looks to be one of the Chinese admirals basically wants to turn on his country and seems to be siding with Russia. They even go as far as to... That's basically... If you remember the trailer where the bloke loses his leg, that 19-minute gameplay reveal that they had in about April, was it? It was sometime around there. But basically, they had the intel, and it turned out that this intel is basically this Chinese admiral is going to be in the Russians' pocket because he's going to do something and Russia's going to support China, and China turned their hatred towards the US as it's basically made out that their future leader was killed by US soldiers. So it's becoming a tense standoff. The US and the Russians and the Chinese are all pointing guns at each other, and it's down to your crew to basically stop World War III. Which, the story write-up looks very good. Hopefully we see more of it over the next month or two. Going into the launch window, sort of, everything. Also interesting to see when the next-gen stuff will be released. Will it have to be after the actual release in October. Or not. The MPD sales came through for June. Unsurprisingly, Last of Us was the biggest selling game. Interestingly, the biggest selling video game console was the 3DS. In proper console terms, 360 was still the biggest selling, but 3DS outsold the 360. Which I guess really shows that despite everybody being a bit, you know, skeptical of it at first, it really seems to be making it back. I bet Nintendo are basically hoping that happens to the Wii U in the next year. Somehow I doubt it. PS3 headsets will be compatible with your PS4. So you won't have to buy additional stuff there. Two of Ubisoft's big games, The Crew and The Division, have been slated by Ubisoft for a Q1 and Q2 2014 release, respectively. Firefly, the brilliant Joss Whedon series, there will be an online game on its way for mobiles, for iOS and Android. Which I'm intrigued about, but I don't have an iOS or Android phone, so that's all I can be interested in. Angry Birds Star Wars is coming the same day as Battlefield 4. And I think,
we know which one will win that.
And I think WWE 13 is the same day.
Yes, I believe so.
And Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah.
So, Angry Birds Star Wars is getting buried. But it will be out then. Couple of interesting bits of news from Evo from last weekend that got unveiled. Injustice is going to have a fifth DLC, and it's going to be Martian Manhunter.
The promised Martian Manhunter. They kept saying he was going to come out. They never released him. And then finally, oh, by the way, all these other packs, yeah, you can keep them. The Martian Manhunter is coming out too.
And then the big one was Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Which is going to feature 5 new characters, 4 which were named, Rolando, Poison, Hugo, and Elaine. And the 5th yet to be revealed, but they've teased that it's a person that's never been in the Street Fighter franchise. A lot of people are saying, please let it be Mike Hagger from Final Fight.
It's going to
be pretty cool. Obviously, there's the usual balancing issues that get involved and 6 new areas. It's going to be a $15 download to those who have the previous games. But for those of you who haven't got the Street Fighter series, it will be coming out for download and retail, it will be coming out 2014. But the retail edition of Ultra Street Fighter 4 will have all the DLC included in it that's already been released. So your Super Street Fighter 4 and your arcade edition stuff and your 2013 arcade edition stuff, as well as future DLC for Ultra Street Fighter 4. So technically, we could be getting Ultra Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, 2013 Edition, Hyper Edition, or something.
And then 2 months later, Street Fighter 5 comes out.
Well, no, Yoshihiro Ono has basically said they're not working on Street Fighter 5 at the minute.
No, I know. They're not going to, because Evo is just going out of their way to make sure that they keep Capcom very happy, because they want to continue using Street Fighter 4 for their tournaments, and they want to make sure, hey, guess what? We're going to keep doing this. We're going to pay you this lump sum over here to allow you to let us stream your game, play it, and give away about $50,000. Capcom's like, okay. Have fun.
Yeah. Beyond Good and Evil is aiming now for its sequel to be on next gen. Basically, because current gen won't be able to hold the ideas that they have for it.
Which, by next gen, he means 10 years down the road.
No, I think he does mean PS4 and Xbox One, amazingly.
Probably not.
Well, he referenced in the interview current gen wouldn't be able to handle it.
Basically, PS5 and Xbox 2 will have Beyond Good and Evil 2.
The new Ace Attorney is apparently rated M for mature.
Yes.
Despite the fact it has the same description as rated T for teen every other Ace Attorney game that came out.
I wonder why. I mean, are they going to start cursing in it?
Doesn't say anything about strong language. In the description from the ESRB, it says violence, doesn't it? Like it does with the ones where it says rated T. It's exactly the same as what it said for rated T for teen, yet it's rated M.
Maybe it's more violence. A lot of violence.
Yeah, but it was violent. It wasn't scenes of violence. It was, what was it? I'm trying to think of the terminology that was used, but it wasn't actual violence that featured in it. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens when it gets revealed. Pokemon Rumble U has officially been confirmed for the West. Europe will be getting it August 15th. America, August 29th. Saints Row 4, yes. Big news about this. Johnny Gat is back from the dead, apparently, which is very interesting. And is it Daniel Day-Kim?
Yes.
He will be returning to voice him. Also on the voice cast, you're going to have Neil Patrick Harris.
Really?
He's a DJ of some name. I'm trying to remember what the casting is.
That's kind of interesting.
He's some sort of DJ. Rob Van Dam is also going to be a voice in the game. And if it couldn't get any bigger, which some say you might be reaching RVD being big, the boss, a.k.a. the character you're going to be playing for the game, as with previous games, has got multiple voices. I don't think you can play as a zombie in this one, but there are two huge names. One is Troy Baker, a.k.a. Booker DeWitt from Bioshock Infinite, Joel from The Last of Us.
Batman. Joker, I mean, Joker.
Yeah. And Nolan North. So, arguably, the two biggest names at the minute in video game voice artistry are both providing the voice to the boss who you can play as in Saints Row 4.
That's crazy.
Plus, there's two different actresses playing Chandy. Because somehow they've been cloned. I guess we'll find out in the plot how that happened. But also, Terry Crews is in there. I'm trying to...
Terry Crews. That's enough. That's all we need right there. Terry Crews. I'm going to play the game no matter what.
Sasha Gray isn't in it this time, though.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, no. I think she finished that part of her career about a year ago.
Funny. Very funny.
Now, interesting. Pro Evolution Soccer is using the Fox Engine for 2014. It's not going to be on next gen, though. Apparently, they're skipping it. Mainly because they don't know which platforms are going to be popular enough. And they want to gauge how much interest there is in each of the consoles before, I guess, working out which console they're going to develop for prominently. Because if you did notice the GTA 5 gameplay trailer from last week, it was done on a PS3. From the button prompts.
Did we even talk about that at all last week?
Oh, sure.
You know what? Let's talk about it right now.
Well, relating to that, because I might as well tie it in, they've actually even announced that it will be coming out in Japan, GTA 5, on October the 10th this week.
Good for Japan. No one cares. Let's talk about the gameplay trailer. What? Straight up, as soon as I saw the gameplay trailer, I want this game now. The stuff I saw. Tennis. Them playing tennis? Like Top Spin on the Xbox. Them playing golf? It's like Tiger Woods. I mean, seriously, are we going to have game and game and game? I mean, it sounds like they're just going to one-up themselves every time. They're going to include all these really cool games.
This is where they haven't shown any gameplay from it for so long.
This is just crazy.
Because if you saw this, if they showed that kind of stuff like 2 years ago, people would have gone, yeah, that's concept. None of that's really going to be in the game. But because they're showing this to you, what, 2 months before the thing comes out, you really are going, holy shit, how are they going to get this into a disc? Or at least for Xbox 2 discs.
Yeah, I'm really caught off guard by how much is going to be in Grand Theft Auto 5. The fact you have the choice.
Yeah.
To do your own heist, the choice you can make in the heist to do it, the fact that there's customization, almost everything from the guns to the cars to your players, the fact you can buy property again. Let's not even speak about the online yet, because they haven't even shown off that yet.
Well, one thing we can say about online from other things that we've seen in the past, if you've got a job and you need a getaway driver and you know who's number one on the all-time list for fastest lap around a certain track, let's say, because I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of motor racing kind of sim thing, considering they've got tennis and everything, you can contact that person and say, do you want to be on the job with us? Here's your cut of how much we're going to get if we are successful. And they can actually be incorporated into the main game.
That's just crazy. That's just crazy. I want this game. I really do. I just want this game.
Plus, the gameplay trailer was so good. Even Kojima says, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to be shit compared to this.
Pretty much. Where was it? I have what he said.
Let's go to the Twitters.
GTA 5 new trailer is awesome. This free control is future of the game. Way higher than anywhere. Makes me depressed as matter of fact. I don't think R5 can reach that level. Rockstar's team are the best, without question. They will pull up the possibility of a game. That's from Hideo Kojima. One of the best. Now, if he gives you props, yeah, you can definitely say, yeah, we're that good. Because we won't even get started with what he said towards Pacific Rim, which we read last week, and what my review is of this week. We won't even get into that right now. We'll stay with Grand Theft Auto 5, which is coming out September 17th. If you haven't pre-ordered, go pre-order now. Because
I wonder if that's going to be playable possibly at your game, I expect, because
if it is, you better.
They do have sometimes games that have only just been released that are
If it's there, you better play it. If it's there, you better play it.
Yeah. Even though most people probably won't be playing it because they have already got it, I will definitely want to go there and get my experience with it.
I am looking very forward to Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's weird. We've had a whole year of a couple of years of games which haven't been absolutely perfect. They've had flaws and everything. And then we've had two in the space of about 5 months in Bioshock Infinite and Last of Us, which, aren't exactly perfect, but pretty much everybody has given huge critical acclaim to them. And by the looks of it, we could be getting three in the space of a calendar year with GTA 5 if it hits all the right buttons, which it seems to be from the trailer.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
A couple of bits. State of Decay will be getting a PC edition this year, they've announced. And there will also be more news on the third update to the Xbox 360 edition coming probably around Monday as to how they're going to expand on that. The multiplayer reveal for Call of Duty Ghost will be coming sometime in mid-August. The Dishonored DLC has been announced. Second part, the Brigmore Witches, it's going to be called, coming out August 13th for America and August 14th for Europe. And basically, it's the continuation of the Dowd story.
I was about to say, I was like, I hadn't heard about this one.
It's a continuation of the Dowd story, basically, from where the last one left off, where you know of... Is it Delphine? You know of her things, and so... Well, you know of her situation. So, with the city kind of in lockdown, it's up to you to work with the witches to get back up there and basically lead into the very beginning of the Dishonored game. The cutscene, I guess.
IGN's starting to freak me out. I'm on IGN reading about something, and apparently they have a live counter for every story that is being read. And it's going back and forth between Walking Dead and the Assassin's Creed book. And it's just freaking me out.
And one final thing from me that definitely needs to be mentioned. Evo and the Super Smash Bros. Debacle. We talked about it last week. Nintendo said no and then had a change of heart. I think they've realized that they definitely should have a change of heart permanently, because the Super Smash Bros. Stream was the most watched stream out of all of the games that were at Evo. Over 100,000 people watched the final.
You hear that, Nintendo? You hear that?
That's more than Street Fighter. That's more than Tekken. That's more than Street Fighter X Tekken. That's more than Dive kick. That's more of an injustice.
Wait, what?
There's a game called Dive Kick.
I don't remember that being at Evo.
It was... I think it was on, like, Stage 3, because there were so few people entered into it that they didn't have it on. Skullgirls was also tucked away as well at Evo.
Really?
Yes, there was a little tournament there. Basically, Dive Kick is one-hit kills.
That's kind of stupid.
And basically, they're all dive kicks.
And, that's really stupid.
You get a Japanese person going, headshot! And depending where you kick them, kind of thing. It's practically one-hit kill, so it's really a case of working out how to get your defense and everything.
I will never play that then.
It's actually a pretty fun game, considering it's like an indie title, and I don't know whether it's out officially yet for consoles, but I know it's been doing the rounds.
I don't know. I won't play it. I don't care. Close that out. So that's it from you?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a few stories right quick. One definitely that I want to bring up is I'm surprised you didn't bring it up, which is the NCAA EA issue.
Well, it didn't appear on the European news sites because most Europeans don't play NCAA football.
Okay. Apparently, I mean, there's a lot going on. EA is being... Wait. NCAA has basically ended their entire contract with EA, basically because they're tired of it, I guess. I don't have the full story. I've got multiple stories in front of me about this. Attorneys in NCAA EA lawsuit hardened by NCAA spurning EA. NCAA's decision to end this association with NCAA's football publisher EA Electronic Arts hardened Hagens Berman, one of the law firms handling class action lawsuits against Electronic Arts, the NCAA, and the collegiate licensing company. But the firm won't stop there. Citing the current business climate and cost of litigation, the NCAA announced 2 days ago that it won't renew its license agreement with EA for college football games once their contract expires next June. That will leave this year's NCAA Football 14 as the last college football game under the NCAA football name, which EA has been using since 1997. The NCAA is attempting to mitigate the damage by ducking its responsibilities. Basically, by not re-signing, they basically can come out and say, yeah, we're not involved with them, you can't sue us. Our suit illustrates how the cabal between NCAA and EA has exploited student athletes for years, using their images and video games without compensation. While we are heartened they've stopped the practice, we believe they owe those student athletes a great deal more than their implied promise to stop stealing their images. Seriously, NCAA is pretty much just trying to keep the money it's got because it's losing money due to this lawsuit. Due to people not really caring that much about NCAA football anymore. I mean, it's got its mainstays, but not everybody's caring anymore, which sucks for them, but oh well. Apparently, a modern-day Assassin's Creed is very possible, but they say there's a major draw for the series as elements of historical tourism. So, we could see a few different things. Possibly even a shogunate, or shogunate era, as in
back to Japan.
You're going to Japan, so that'd be pretty cool. Be an assassin who's actually a shogun. That's pretty cool. Trying to see if there's anything else story wise that I have that I should be reading.
Just a little update. Dive Kick is basically a parody
of
fighting games.
Okay, that's what
especially
I thought.
Street Fighter and stuff. You know, apparently one of the characters is called her name is redacted, except redacted is crossed out. That's the way the graphic stylized the name of her as. Apparently, she is a pregnant skunk bear that drank toxic waste while fleeing from Canada, resulting in her size and intelligence being increased. And her animations are apparently inspired by those of Wolverine as he appears in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And basically, her name references ongoing legal disputes between IP owners and game developers who use the appearance and likenesses of other characters. Divekick is coming out to PS3 and Vita on August the 20th, and will be coming to Windows at a later date. Doesn't mention 360, it just mentions Windows. It might not be going to 360, but certainly to PC.
Apparently there is a Tomb Raider sequel planned, apparently Gail Simone will be writing up a new Tomb Raider comic planned for 2014, and she reveals that the new series takes place just a few weeks after the end of the game. She adds that this is all in continuity. It will be Tomb Raider canon and lead directly into the sequel. So, I mean, there you go. There's going to be a sequel to Tomb Raider, even though Square Enix said, yeah, we suck. This wasn't a good game.
Oh, my God. The two lead characters of Divekick are Dive and Kick, and they were a dojo in West Philadelphia, born and raised, and they got in a fight. So, therefore, he and his brother were sent to live in Bel Air with their uncle Sensei. It's Fresh Prince ripoff. I want this game now. I want it.
Steam sale.
Yeah, let's Steam. Let's talk a little about.
We're now on day 9 of Steam sale. Yes, day 9. Today, we have a lot of stuff. Straight up, you got Skyrim Legendary Edition for $35.99. You have Grid 2 for $29.99. EVE Online for $4.98. But remember, that is a subscribe-based MMO. Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition for $4.99. Civilization 5, which is a great game if you haven't played it yet, $7.49. Trials of Lucia.
Include a saving on Brave New World or not yet?
No. There's no sale going on that. There is a sale going on for Gods and Kings, and you may be able to get the Gold Edition for just as much. Actually, let me bring this up right quick, and let me see what Steam Powered happens. That's not what I clicked on. Is it? Yes, it is. It is what I clicked on. I clicked the wrong game. I'm sorry. Gold Edition is actually $12.49. So you need to get Gold Edition. The Gold Edition actually contains all of the DLC, which includes Nebuchadnezzar, the Cradle of Civilization, all of this stuff. Plus, you also get Gods and Kings for $12.49, 75% off. You only have 37 more hours for that sale, so get that. You also got Trials of Evolution Gold Edition for $10, Awesome Knots for $3.39, Monaco for $7.44, which I did buy. And Metro Last Light for $29.99.
I know the developer of Monaco was very unhappy with the way that it really hasn't picked up and done very well on Xbox.
Well, it's a different kind of game. They really shouldn't expect a lot of stuff to be picked up fast on the Xbox. Oh, and I apologize. There's one more. Apparently, Train Simulator 2013 for $10.99.
Here we are.
There you go. The games from Day 8 is still on sale. If you have not picked them up, I mean, let me bring these up to you right quick. Euro Truck Simulator, $10, $9.99. Torchlight 2.
75% off. Do it, because obviously for people in Britain, you've got Torchlight 2 for 75% off, XCOM Enemy Unknown for 75% off. Infestation, Survivor Story, 75% off. Magicka, 75% off. And Gary's Mod for God knows anything that Valve have ever made. You got 70% off SimCity 4, 50% off Modern Warfare 3, and some Van Helsing game. And, sorry, Sean.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
I had it up as well.
Well, how about this? How about I just go straight up? Torchlight 2, $4.99. Infestation Survivor Series, $3.74. Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, $7.49. SimCity 4 Deluxe Edition, $5.99. XCOM Enemy Unknown, $9.99. Magicka and Gary's Mods, $2.49 a piece. Modern Warfare 3, $19.99. Far Cry 3, $23.99. All of those are still on sale as of right now. You don't have that much longer to get those. I do recommend Torchlight 2, XCOM Enemy Unknown, and Magicka at the most if you want any of those. Far Cry 3, of course. Out of today's, I bought Monaco and Trials of Evolution. I do recommend Civilization 5, the Gold Edition, Metro Last Light if you want to spend the money. But definitely, we're seeing a lot of good sales.
Those of you who haven't got it as well, 40% off Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
There you go. So, I mean, it's really cool. And something to go along with Far Cry 3, apparently Ubisoft will be making a Far Cry 4. When it comes out, we're not sure. So
50% off Star Trek.
I just uninstalled it. I just uninstalled Star Trek. So, oh, wait. That game. I uninstalled Star Trek Online. I'm sorry. So,
oh, wow. Gods of Kings is enough. Oh, no. Gods of Kings.
So that's what you get for the Steam sales. So anything else we
need to talk about? Surgeon Simulator is 40% off as well.
That is really fun.
Anything else we need to talk about, Ashley?
No, I'm going to scour through sales. I'm going to scour through more of the sales now, see if there's certain games reduced.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the open book. Be right back.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W., and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Hello guys, my name is Dan Van Dam from the DailyGamePad.com. We have gaming news, reviews, and podcasts and more. While we say we welcome you aboard to check out our website, we have news feeds from all across the internet. We have reviews, that is from ample, if not considerate, reviewers, as well as we have podcasts coming in the works. So, stay tuned, strap down, strap on, and, well, get ready for your heavyweight championship of the world. Because you are a champion, my friend, when you look at thedailygamepad.com.
Thedailygamepad.com, your one-stop shop. All video game related news. www.thedailygamepad.com.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal Independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fatigue.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
And now back to the open book on the SNS Radio Network.
Welcome back, guys. Of course, this is the Open Book with myself, one of the voices of the voiceless, and of course, I am here with my co-host, the other voice of the voiceless, where this is segment three. This is usually our entertainment segment, and we got a lot to talk about in this segment. We've got some entertainment stories to talk about a little bit more than what we had in the first segment, I guess, but we also have some reviews, and these reviews are the property of myself for mine, which is Pacific Rim. Ashley, which is World's End. So we hope you guys enjoy what we are about to tell you about these two movies. But do we have any stories, Ashley, for this segment? I don't remember if there was anything left.
Yeah, we've got a few stories. Andrew Kevin Walker, who wrote the script for Seven and was working with David Fincher on the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea project, which seems to have... literally gone like its title and been submerged and never to be found again, is apparently now working on the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo sequel script.
Nice.
The Girl Who Played with Fire. So it looks like we could be seeing another one of them coming soon. I mean, considering we know that there isn't going to be a Bond film until 2015, there's just about enough time to film it probably end of this year, before he has to go off filming for Bond 24, or whatever it's called. So there is that gap there that can be done, or can be used, sorry, to do it. This is very good news to me. Paranormal Activity 5 has been delayed by a year. They're now going to be bringing it out in October 2014, which at least means it isn't going to be a quick turnaround sequel. They're actually giving it time to try and work out what to do. Because I really don't think anything has matched the first one. The first one was very good. Second, third, and fourth, because they were annual sequels, just felt like they were just rip-offs. Especially when it features Connect.
The second one was good. I liked the second one.
It wasn't as good as the first, though.
No, it wasn't, but after that, I just didn't watch anymore. I didn't care.
As soon as they found out they could have a budget, it went to rubbish. Which is ironic, because the thing with the lowest budget was the best.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror films, though, even though it's only just come out today in America, coming out in August for the UK and I think the rest of the world, The Conjuring is apparently already in development for a sequel.
I'm fine with that. From what I've heard, it's good.
Yeah.
It's one of the best horror films this year. Evil Dead came out last year, didn't it? Or did it come out this year?
Which one?
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead was this year.
Okay, so a lot of people have said that Evil Dead, it's close in ties with Evil Dead. I've heard a lot of really good things about Conjuring. I want to see The Conjuring. I don't do a lot of horror movies in the theater. I want to see The Conjuring. So, I don't know. I look forward to a sequel.
Some people not looking forward to Paranormal Activity 5 in the chat. I don't know if they're looking forward to the new Dan Brown book being adapted, because Robert Langdon is going to be back, Tom Hanks and Ron Howard getting back together, except they aren't going to do it for the next book in the series, Lost Symbol. They're going to ignore that apparently never happened, and instead they're going to jump to Inferno, which is inspired by Dante's Inferno. That's they're starting work on it. I think probably won't come out until 2015 or something.
I decided to look at IGN right quick to see what their review for Conjuring was. I don't usually care about major reviews like this, but I decided to check. They gave it an 8.0, saying the Conjuring's old school technique and stellar cast elevate its familiar horror story into something truly scary fun. So I mean, they gave it
which
a great
is proof review. That the original Saw was good. Because it is from the same director as the original Saw.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think he directed the first two or three, which were arguably the strongest, because towards the end it just really became just spilling out there, like some people have said, Paranormal Activity, the new Saw. 7 kind of brought it back.
Oh, apparently...
That was a good strong one as well, but...
Apparently Wolverine got 8.5.
Okay.
Which... brings me to a story right quick. I want to take that away from you. Apparently, Wolverine Origin 2 has been announced. So
I didn't even have that story, so well done.
It's a graphic novel. It's actually going to show the early days as Wolverine... Origin 2 will return to the earlier days of Wolverine as he finds himself in something of a feral era, struggling to rediscover civilization. Marvel promises to depict some earlier encounters with some of his greatest adversaries, including a Gillen favorite, Mr. Sinister. So if you never read the first Origin, it's worth it. The first Origin was really good. I enjoyed the first Origin. So I'm hoping this second one will be really good. The Wolverine Origin 2 is slated to release in November. So there you go. I am keeping up with the comic stuff, so...
Tom Cruise's sci-fi film was originally titled All You Need Is Kill. They've changed the name, probably because it doesn't ring off the tongue that well, and it's now going to be renamed Edge of Tomorrow. And a new shot from the film has revealed that Emily Blunt is also in the film as well. Which, the last time she was in a sci-fi film, it was a little film that did pretty good called Looper. Yeah. Peter Serafinowicz, who most people might have seen in Couples Retreat and Shaun of the Dead, he's been in a few things anyway. He will be appearing, I think, in some sort of role in the Muppets sequel movie coming out in March next year, but he's going to be doing his directorial debut next year with I See What You Did There, which is co-written with Danny Wallace, who's story was the inspiration for the film Yes Man. Because, yeah, it was based on real stuff, amazingly. Basically, the storyline is going to be a comedian that's down on his luck, and this heckler heckles him, and he kills the heckler. Murders him. Except, the comedian's biggest fan has witnessed the murder. So I guess it's going to be some sort of comedy thing there where the fan will probably be like a stalker then and blackmail like crazy. So
I love how slow the stream is to while they're getting in chat. I just want to say that because I didn't even say it was a comic, and they're just going off on how Fox has ruined everything and everything. I was like, just hold on, and there it is. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Johnny Depp is on for the Alice in Wonderland sequel now, and also I think his production company is now doing some stuff with Disney and everything in some sort of deal that they've signed up, which would be interesting. This is definitely an interesting move. Justin Lin, who did Fast 5 and 6 that just came out, I've forgotten what he's working on now. He's not directing Fast 7, stepping away from it. He is now apparently going into his producing stuff and is apparently working on a Bruce Lee television series.
What?
Because I think it's coming up to the 40th anniversary of his death.
Okay.
And it's going to be some sort of TV series, it's probably going to be a drama chronicling his life, I'm guessing. Not much confirmed detail seems to be out about that, but he's in lines to be producing it. And final thing, which isn't really movie TV related, but it's certainly entertainment. Miss J.K. Rowling.
yes.
Sunday was revealed in one of the UK papers that she went under a secret pseudonym of Robert Galbraith and wrote this crime book. Apparently, she's very angry over this reveal because basically it was a legal firm that was supposed to be in strict confidentiality and not reveal it. And by the sounds of it, it was that legal firm that has leaked it. And apparently she's very disappointed in this. Only thing is, if you look at it, up until the day before that announcement, Miss Rowling's book, as Galbraith, had apparently sold 500 copies. Since the revelation that it's her, it's nearly sold 1 million. Mainly because people reviewed it and said it's an absolutely brilliant book. But because of the author, nobody gave a crap about it.
That's pretty much how it was.
I'm guessing she's pissed because she's made so much money from the Potter book, she wanted to do that just to see what would happen.
No. Hold on.
Or perhaps it's because, you know, the book, The Casual Vacancy, wasn't that good.
Hold on. 1 second. Okay. Hold on. Basically, the rumor is right now that she feels that she didn't sell so many because of the fact that she's a female author. That's why she felt that The Casual Vacancy didn't sell that well because it wasn't a Harry Potter book. And she wanted to see how it would sell if she possibly went out and tried to do something different as a different name.
Well, it didn't work.
Right, it didn't work. So now the fact that she's ticked off is she wanted to see how it would go after people have reviewed and all that, after people have given it a chance to take a read, she wanted to see how it was going to do. Of course, people didn't know who it was. They didn't want to read it, so blah, blah, blah. They didn't care. But once they found out it was her, they were like, everybody wants to go buy it because they think it's going to be a Harry Potter book or something, but it's not going to be that. It's going to be a J.K. Rowling murder mystery novel, if I remember correctly.
Yes, but it's getting the reviews for Casual Vacancy were a mixed bag because basically it was the British version of 50 Shades of Grey. Practically, because there is some sadomasochism in it.
Well, what book doesn't have sadomasochism in it now? I mean, seriously.
True, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is quite a bit. So,
Oh, don't even start.
Shall we play? We go out tonight with Enya.
No. I mean, hold on. Let's not even. Hold on. I'm going to throw something at you in a few minutes, and hopefully it makes it. I do want to say this. L-Train keeps sending me messages the day of the show, trying to find out if we have songs made up. I want to let you guys know that I choose the songs Thursday night for this show. Please don't send me songs you want to hear Friday morning after I have chosen
requests.
No requests on Friday. If you want to send me a request on Thursday, I'll take it into consideration. I always have. So, L-Train, if you're listening, don't send me a request on Friday morning. Send me a request on Thursday night. Possibly 6 o'clock my time. I'll pay attention then. But go ahead, Ashley.
Sean, I'm paying attention. That never happens.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I got one. I'm on the same level as Bronx. High five. Now, you see, the fact is, the book was getting good reviews, but nobody was buying it because of the thing. I just wondered whether the publishing company might have done the leak because they wanted to make the money back.
Because the fact is, it's apparently been out for about 3 months. And in that 3 months, it sold 500 copies.
Brass eye, really? Don't even start. I haven't actually said anything to you all night, and you're going to start on me.
That's the thing that I don't get. It's like she wants to know how popular it is after a given period of time. 500 books in 3 months, I think, tells you everything.
Well, she wanted to try something different. I think they should have kept quiet. I really do. And let her just find out.
I know what I'm doing in February, though.
You're going to read the book. Of course you are.
I'm going to buy the paperback edition because I'm not spending £20 on a hardback edition when I can get the paperback edition for £3.85 when it gets to Tesco's on the day of launch.
I will say I picked up... I left it downstairs. I forgot. I picked up a new Star Wars book. It's actually pretty good. It's the Dawn of the Jedi. It's basically the start of the Jedi Council. It's pretty good. So, as far as goes for J.K. Rowling, they should have been quiet. They should have kept quiet about the whole thing. They should have let it go because, in all honesty, she could have sold 3 books and that would have been it. And they should have been like, okay, we got to do something different. But she sold 500. That's only in England. That's good. That's good to go. So, I mean, we've got to figure something out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'll just have to see. Really? I need to not read our Skype chat. Not what I wanted to see.
I'm trying to communicate with a producer, and I don't want to do it in front of the rest of the chat.
Yeah, I'm sure, because some of that's really not something I want to have on the show. So, we're going to leave it at that. I do have one story. I guess I'll bring it up now. Apparently, the Dead Space 3... Why did I close that out? Dead Space film is actually in the works, along with the Assassin's Creed film, which is being pushed forward. So they're actually looking at trying to get that to come out pretty fast. Possibly within 2014, 2015, we could see a Dead Space movie. So I am very happy about that. I look forward to that because I want Dead Space. Now, here comes the fun part of the show for myself. If Ashley can pull himself away from... Oh, my Lord. If Ashley can pull himself away from the conversation he's having with Brass Eye, I would like to hear your review of The World's End.
Well, I went in to see it... is as part of the Blood and Cornetto's trilogy, which meant I saw before it Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, which might have possibly hurt my feelings on it. Because if you look at it next to Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, I don't think it's on a par with them, but then again,
they've been in my conscience and everything ever since they came out, practically. So they've been around for much longer. World's End is definitely a good send-off to the trilogy. The Cornetto moment is very subtle and nice. I mean, the whole plot is pretty interesting in itself about how 1990, these five guys go out on a bar crawl, as they referred to at Comic-Con. And basically guys trying to go to 12 bars to drink 12 pints of beer each, along what they described as the golden mile across these bars. And they tried to do it back in 1990 and failed. So, to present day we go. And Simon Pegg's character, Gary King, decides to get the gang back together. Clearly it's for a reason other than to do the golden mile in some sort of shape or form. And it seems to go on pretty swimmingly. Until they get to about bar 3 or 4, in which they start to realize that this alien invasion of sorts is happening. With the blue ink and everything. And I will say this, the fight scenes across the whole film are very well choreographed. There's clearly been some input there from some of the guys that work with Edgar and Scott Pilgrim. It's some very good stuff. The key thing is, it really isn't a Simon Pegg film. Although he's the lead character and he's pushed down your throat, he isn't the likable guy. And it really gets the other guys, Nick Frost in a serious role for a change, Paddy Considine, Eddie Marsden and Martin Freeman to really take center stage. I can't remember the woman's name. But she was in one of the James Bond ones. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she plays a good supporting role. There is a weird Casablanca reference of sorts in the film, which I'm not going to spoil, but it's pretty interesting. Although the thing that surprised me the most is one of the other characters in the film, which I'm not revealing who, but let's just say pretty similar to Hot Fuzz.
Rosamund Pike.
Oh, that's it, Rosamund Pike. Yeah, she does a very good job as kind of the sort of love interest of the whole thing. But it takes some interesting approaches down the line, and the build up to the ending does go a little weird, but has one of the very first moment that I have had where I've actually applauded a line in the cinema. It was that kind of brilliantly executed, but the ending itself seems a little off and weird and not something you'd really expect from these guys' films, but it kind of perfectly rounds off the trilogy, and the story behind the invasion is pretty nice as well. But I don't want to go into too much details because I don't want to spoil it for everybody, because I think it doesn't come out in America till August 21st. But I will say, it may not be as good as Hot Fuzz, it may not be as good as Shaun of the Dead, but I think this one, depending how they do it, will have probably more of an American appeal, even though it is still very British because it involved the pub crawl sort of thing. But the way that the fight action and everything is done, it will have, I think, some sort of American audience. It will probably be like a cult one, like Scott Pilgrim and the other Cornetto trilogy films have. But go out and see it. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. I think it's stronger than This Is the End. Mainly because This Is the End kind of just has the biblical apocalypse. Whereas the apocalypse that happens in this, the invasion style thing, I think is a better way to approach it. Then again, obviously, the This Is the End is about celebrity figures rather than just a bunch of... Well, I say a bunch of louts, but really all the other ones, apart from Gary King, are pretty successful businessmen with families and relationships and everything. And Gary King's just there, still dressed as he was in 1990, still grasping to that moment when he was kind of living the dream sort of thing. But overall, I'd give it... Are we doing 5 or 10 ratings on here, Sean?
We'll go 10.
I'll give it probably an 8 to an 8.5. It's strong and it's a good resounding bit to the trilogy, but some people will go in there... Don't go in there with your hopes too high. I'll say that. If you think, okay, it's a Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Edgar Wright film, you'll be okay. If you think, oh, wow, it's the end of a trilogy, it's going to be absolutely awesome, you might be disappointed. But it's still a very good completion to the whole thing. And, yeah, they have said at Comic-Con that they would be wanting to do another movie, but it wouldn't have to be part of a trilogy. Perhaps they'd do something in the future. Perhaps they'd set it sometime in the past. They'd have to wait and see what develops. But clearly the next thing for Edgar Wright to work on is Ant-Man. Nick Frost, I'm not sure. But Simon Pegg as well seems to be probably busy if they are going to start shooting it on Star Trek. Whatever you want to call it. Star Trek 3. Star Trek JJ 3. Anyway. But yeah, definitely go see it. It's very enjoyable.
So there you go. I mean, great review from Ashley. I'm not going to be as in-depth. I mean, we all know how I review stuff. But that sounds like one of those that I am going to see when it comes out the DVD. I'm a huge Simon Pegg fan, but I don't see many films in theater. So it's one of those things where I just want to... There's only certain movies. And Pacific Rim was one of those movies. I mean, straight up, I'm not even going to tell you the synopsis of the story. You want to see what the synopsis of the story is, go look at IMDb. Ashley's good for showing that stuff off, and I'm very proud of him for that. I've been too busy today. I can't just come up and say, yeah, this is what the movie's about, blah, blah.
Basically, it's kaijus from outer space.
Nope. It is not. That's what I thought. It is not. It is a kaiju film about... let me see if I can get this right, because I don't want to spoil... No, you know what? I can't even do that. I can't even tell you what it really is. There's so much about this film.
Okay, so... Okay, there hold is on, kaiju on. Monsters on her on Earth, of which nope. How they got there, we can't tell you.
I can't tell you how they became the monsters. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is they're kaiju monsters coming through a rift in the ocean. They're in a deep part of the Pacific Ocean. There's a rift that is allowing the kaijus to come through. Earth, as the countries, the continents, got together and built robots. Basically saying, you know what, we're tired of this. It took them...
Jaegers.
The Jaegers is what it's called.
Jaegers, that's it.
They built the Jaegers, the Jaeger program. Basically, it was taking a lot of firepower to bring these things down, so they built the Jaegers. The Jaegers take two people to control, because if one person... It's too powerful for one person to go into it. So they put two. They end up melding together pretty much, mind through mind. And
Inception style.
Kind of. And a lot of things happen. That's really as far as I'm going to go into the synopsis of it. The movie is so emotional in points. I was tearing up. I was laughing. I was, my mouth was on the ground a lot of the time. I went and saw it in what's called the Big D. It's a screen about the size of an IMAX screen, but a little bit smaller. I can't really think of the size. It's a big screen. I will say that.
Was it loud?
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing. The Big D is of course, always louder. The big thing, though, for me was the Big D ended up every time they had a fight or something, my seat was shaking.
Those seats, yeah.
Well, it's a they're leather seats. So...
Yeah, but they've kind of got motors to them, so...
They don't. That's the thing. I'm trying to figure out how to say this right, but it's not. If I can figure out how big these screens are and what... They're leather seats. They lean back. They're nice seats. I mean, they're just nice seats. But that's the thing. They've got so much stuff.
If the seats move when there's, like, punches and crashes, though, there's got to be some sort of...
No, they didn't move.
Oh.
They just shook. I
mean, it's not the D-Box seats that I thought they were.
No.
Okay.
The seats shook because it was so loud. That's pretty much all it was.
Oh, okay.
It really was loud. I'm looking at stuff. I'm trying to find out how big the screens were, but I'm going to put it like this. Apparently, there are 16 channels, 21-inch subwoofers, four-way speakers, quad amplified. It's very loud. The film is loud to begin with, but this alone made it even louder. My jaw was on the ground. As I was saying, I was very emotional through some of the film because it pushes you that way. There's a line in the movie that is not translated. And they left it that way because of the meaning behind it of how much of a meaning it has in Japanese. So they left it untranslated and allowed it to go.
Oh, I've got a feeling I know which scene.
Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm gonna.
Yeah. I've got a feeling I know which scene it is, though.
I'm gonna put it like this: it is one of the best films I have seen in years. I don't say that about a lot of films. I will say the movie's good. I will say the movie's great. This is one of the only films I will say in a long time. This is one of the greatest films I have seen in years. I will buy this in Blu-ray. I will buy this in 3D Blu-ray. I will buy this in whatever.
Please tell me you stayed until the end.
The end of the credits?
Yeah.
Is there something after the credits?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it. In all honesty, I hope they do a sequel. I'm guessing that's what he's talking about. There's a possibility of a sequel. Of course, you're going to type in chat.
I'm not going to entirely say what it is, but don't say it out loud because I don't want to do spoilers for everybody else. But hopefully what I say will make sense as to something that happens in the movie that relates to...
That's kind of disgusting, actually. I will look it up on YouTube and I will find out. I'll see what it is. I'm sure...
Or I can tell you after we're finished.
Well, no, I want to see the video footage for myself. But I'm going to put it like this, guys. See the movie. Just go see it. If you're thinking about seeing it, go see it. 10 out of 10, 20 out of 10, 100 out of 10. one of the best films I've seen in years. I have not met anyone that has not liked this movie.
You might not want to see it in 3D, though.
Don't go see it in 3D. If you got a big D theater, go see it in 2D. You'll be fine. Believe me on that.
Because I know some people complained about the 3D effects not working well because quite a bit of it had, when they have the fight, and it really, there's so much 3D on the screen, it gets too busy for some people.
Huh. Is this what I think it is?
I don't know.
This is interesting.
Yes.
No, I, apparently the credits have been uploaded. And the credits are in, like, perfect HD quality. That's why I'm kind of like, I don't know if that should have been put up.
What, including the bit at the end?
No, I don't know. I'm guessing I got dropped. That's going to be a drop. Drop, drop, drop. Ash dropped. I didn't drop. Yay! I didn't drop. Sweet. I was kind of curious about that. Now I'm going to drop, probably. I thought I dropped, guys. I apologize. It's one of those moments. Pacific Rim is one of the greatest films, as I did say, for a while. So go see it. Seabrew says he's seeing it tomorrow. If you are considering seeing it, go see it. I don't care who you are. If you've been thinking about seeing it, just go see it. It's worth it. It's one of the best movies I've seen in years. But I'm going to leave it at that. I don't have any emails, unfortunately. I was hoping I would have something, but I don't. So I will open up the phone lines. Let's see if I can get this right. Of course, you can call in live to our Skype at Brasslight. Can you come on for a second? I apologize. Possibly? Maybe? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing
no,
Brasslight.
You have to wait okay. for me to plug in first.
Okay. Oh, you're plugging in. You're not unplugged? I'm sorry. That was a bad joke.
I'm actually in the kitchen.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I did not know that. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
I cook and write scripts for shows and stuff while you guys are yammering on. What do you need?
The number, the 501-588-7957, is that...
That is correct. You don't need me.
No, is that for U.S. only?
That is international as well.
Okay.
International rates and mobile user rates may apply.
So there you go. 501-588-7957 is the number you're going to call. Unless you have Skype, you need to add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype so you can join us on the air. If you guys want to join us, call now. I do apologize to Brass Eye for having to bring him on. Go back to cooking, Brass Eye. Thank you.
Well, I got to stand by and wait for the phone call, so have fun.
Well, go ahead. I'm going to talk a little Batman while we're waiting. I do want to talk about Arkham Origins a little bit. Black Mask. If you don't know who Black Mask is, Black Mask is Roman Sionis. He is a mob boss who basically took charge of a lot of Gotham's underworld. Sionis inherited a fortune and basically bankrupted his own company. His company was bought out by Bruce Wayne, and Sionis pretty much went on to hate Bruce Wayne. His family actually hated Bruce Wayne's family, but they ended up bringing him into all these parties and all that, but they still ended up hating them. So Sionis, of course, realizing that, kind of drew off of that. One of the big things is Sionis had this thing for mask. So he went and actually destroyed his father's ebony coffin, carved a mask out of it, and basically went after Bruce Wayne and Batman at the same time, not realizing that they were the same. So, that's the backstory of Sionis, one of the craziest so far, it seems. I don't know when the first one appeared. I didn't really know this was this old. I didn't know of Black Mask until just a little while ago. 1985. So he hasn't been around that long. So, which is good, because it would suck if I didn't really know about this one. I knew of Sionis from Battle for the Cow and stuff like that. So it's one of those where I really do enjoy meeting these new characters I've never seen before, and Black Mask was that one. So Black Mask is a great character to actually learn about. So go read a little bit on his stuff. I do have a phone call. I know who it is, but I'm going to let him introduce himself. Who's on the line? Why are you here, and what do you want?
Hey, yo, Sean, thank you for that warm introduction.
And no problem, since you're apparently the only person I have on the line other than Brass Eye, since I've lost my co-host.
I've actually fallen off into the abyss, along with the television title from TNA.
Yeah, and the old X-Division title, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started, man. I couldn't believe when I saw it. I mean, you know, I was a fan of the old Intercontinental title that apparently kind of merged with the NXT title that has now given birth to the new X Division title. But man, I'm just like, I cannot understand that. I had no problem with the most recent X Division belt. I thought it was, like a lot of people said, I thought it was better than the old title, which was that big, huge X in the middle. I thought the redesign one they did a few years ago was just fine, and now they replaced it with this one for some reason.
I don't know. I didn't watch all of I didn't watch all of TNA last night. I tuned in for a little bit. I was like, yeah, peace. I'm done. So I really didn't care. I should have stayed on a little bit longer because of Chris Sabin winning the title. That's pretty cool that they gave it to him. I'm glad they gave it to an original, but I just don't care now. That's the thing. I'm glad he got it, but I don't care. So they need to make me care. They need to like fully make me care now. But TNA's kind of lost it for me. I'll only watch the pay-per-views. Now, apparently they're doing the Hardcore Justice free. You give me the Barbed Wire Massacre, I'll watch. You don't do Barbed Wire Massacre, I don't care anymore.
So, we'll find out. I mean, we haven't seen Abyss since Slammiversary, so who knows if they do that on this brand new free one, not the one night only thing that they just had, but a brand new one. Maybe, who knows? Abyss will be coming back.
Which was good. I will claim it. It was a good mini pay per view. Pretty much, I enjoyed it. I didn't care so much for Joseph Park's character for what he did, but it was good. So, oh well. What you looking at talking about tonight? What you calling for?
Well, believe it or not, it has nothing to do with Mirror's Edge. It actually has to do with another game franchise that I'm actually excited about. I mean, for me, you know, God of War is my favorite franchise, and Mirror's Edge technically, I guess, would be my third favorite, because for me, the one that actually rises above it is the Ace Attorney games, the Phoenix Wright stuff on the DS. So, after seeing the trailer, I think yesterday or the day before, I was wanting to talk about the Ace Attorney game, the new one for the 3DS.
Okay. I haven't seen much about it, so I'm not up to par with that one. So, let's see if you can figure out, why is it rated M?
Well, after seeing the trailer, I first heard about this new release and the whole rated M thing from Ashley back after we had finished the recording of the whole indie show this past week, which everybody should download and listen to after Open Book. And after I was hearing all that, I was trying to decipher that my own self. I mean, from what I could see, the opening of the trailer, I know there's, from what looks like, there's an explosion in a courtroom, in the main courtroom or something. I don't know if that would be alone something that would affect the rating, because, yeah, from what I've seen, there's been blood in the past games. I mean, just about all the cases have involved a murder. So I would be a little shocked if that was the main reason for it to go from T to M. Maybe there is going to be stronger language. Maybe there's going to be more, I don't know, maybe there's going to be more graphic scenes in the crime scenes, possibly.
I'm kind of curious. I did sell my 3DS to a buddy of mine. I don't have a 3DS anymore. I will most likely, if the Pokemon one comes to America, I will be buying the Pokemon X and Y 3DS XL that comes out. So I'll probably end up picking up those. So I don't know, because I am curious about it, but then I want to know more about it before it comes out. I don't really know how to say, really, to what to say about it. Because it's one of those titles where I enjoyed it on the DS, but it wasn't to that point where I was like, I'm going to go buy every single game that comes out. If you get what I mean.
And that's as far as like the X and Y.
No, that's as far as the Ace Attorney.
Actually, that was really the franchise that just, you know, that made me a fan of it, really. I've got all five of the games. I've already would have had six if, you know, Capcom would have been such punks and if they'd released that second Ace Attorney Investigations game like they should have.
Yeah, I mean, some people have, I've heard people talking about it a lot, so it's one of those that not only you're wanting, but other people are wanting also. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, from what I saw in the trailer, I mean, I've seen how the graphics look for, you know, in-game, which is, you know, a big advancement from the old, you know, sprite kind of graphics from the old GBA days from the original three games that were on the DS back in the day. In all honesty, when I saw the cutscenes involving Phoenix, it actually reminded me a little bit of the cutscenes from, like, the Professor Layton games. Like, you know, kind of like a very simple yet vivid, more anime-ish style cutscene.
True. Since you bring up Professor Layton, apparently they had the new one come out, and a lot of people are saying it's not the same as the original, as the other Professor Layton. So it's very interesting that you brought up Professor Layton for a second. But the cutscenes are definitely seeming a very, very interesting style. I'm wondering how this is going to go, because Rated M, a lot of people are going to be questioning why it's Rated M, what's really going on with it, and I mean, we won't know until the game comes out, so, I mean, that's the thing, we won't know if there's a lot of language, we won't know if there's massive blood, or if there's a lot of violence, stuff like that, so we'll have to see.
Well, I know one thing, I definitely know the instant it comes out, that's when I'm going to be, getting my 3DS. I mean, there's been quite a few good games, but, you know, for me, the Ace Attorney series is a system buyer. If you've got a new game out for it, I will definitely get it. I will be a lot happier. Again, Capcom, if you ever release freaking Ace Attorney Investigations 2, and the fact that I even brought up Professor Layton, I had forgotten that there was supposedly a rumored, but I think it was actually somewhat confirmed, there was supposed to be a Phoenix Wright ex-Professor Layton kind of crossover game. I don't know. I doubt it's the same as this new one, but, I mean, I'm still waiting on that also.
I think that's still in the works. I have heard about that. I believe it came out in Japan already. I want to say it has, but I'm not too sure. So I don't know. It could be coming out still. It might not be coming out. You never know. So, I mean, we'll have to see. It's very interesting on what's going to happen with that's kind of funny. I'm sorry, I was looking at the scene Ashley was telling me about from Pacific Rim. So, well, it appears my co-host has dropped completely and will not be back, unfortunately. So we may be saying bye to Ashley for tonight. Don't know what's going on with him. So
nobody
we'll see.
To fire now.
Well, I know that after you, I'll probably end the show. So,
well, frankly, that was the only stuff I was really in calling about, talking about the Ace Attorney game. So, I guess that pretty much does it for my call.
Well, there you go then. So, thank you for calling in. Thank you for the tweet. I have never been called the master of geekdom, but I think we're going to keep the original titles we have, the Voices of the Voiceless. But thank you for the new title. We will definitely pimp that out at some point. So definitely thank you for calling in, man. And if there's anything else, let us know.
Will do. You have a good night, Sean.
You too, man. Have a good one.
Peace.
Beast. So that was L-Train, of course, who did join the whole indie show this past week on the podcast. So, I mean, if you want to check him out, he talked about the California indie scene. So, I mean, definitely take a listen to him, Ash, Sandro, and Randy as they talk about that. The other podcast you can catch on the network, Running the Ropes with Mav. You got the whole indie show, of course, with Ash, Randy, Sandro, and this week it was L-Train. You've got EFP, the midweek with Chuck W, and the weekend edition with Mindwipe and Walkie. I can't believe I remember that. And the Hard Way with Adam and Danny, who is just coming back. Welcome back, guys. We do welcome you back with open arms and a kick in the ass. So, welcome back. Of course, you can catch all the live shows here on the network. You have Unplugged every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. You have The Open Book, which is 10 p.m. Eastern every Friday. And you have Sunday Night Showdown live every pay-per-view weekend. So check that out. I think that's it for us. I'm not sure there's anything else. I do thank you all for tuning in tonight, joining us. I apologize that Ashley dropped. I want to thank you guys for... I want to say I apologize for last week. We did have some technical issues. We hope you enjoyed the crazy exiting whatever we had. I was... felt like it was a live episode to a certain point.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Go ahead, sir.
Just about last week's show, since you did bring that up. That is an anomaly that happens with Shoutcast when companies like Comcast decide to just drop you completely for whatever reason. The stream actually thought we were still broadcasting, even though we were listening to, oh my god, not again, Eric Calderon. But steps are being taken apparently this weekend to make sure that that doesn't happen again, or at least it can be dealt with very quickly.
That's so there
all.
You go.
That's all I got to say. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brass Eye. And thank you all for tuning in. We may make jokes on everything, but I do thank you for tuning in. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy my co-host, enjoy my producer. I enjoy the other hosts of the network, even though I may not care for them much. Bronx, you dirty bastard. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Either way, check out all the shows on the network. We'll catch you guys next week with another open book. Of course, I chose something different for Song of the Night tonight. I hope you enjoy. I am not going to tell you what it is, because I want you to tune in to check out what it is. But of course, you can catch us every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Open Book. Every SNS, whatever. We'll catch you guys next week right here on the Open Book. Thank you. Have fun. Enjoy. Peace. We're out.
I'm through with standing in line to clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in and a king size tub big enough for 10 plus me.
So what you need?
I need a credit card that's got no limit and a big black chain with a bedroom in it. Gonna join the Mile High Club at 37,000 feet.
Been done.
I want a new tour bus full of old guitars. Mine star on Hollywood Boulevard. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me.
So how you gonna?
Trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up. Every playboy bunny with a bleach blonde hair. And well, hey, hey, I wanna
be a rock star. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I wanna be great like Elvis without the tassels. Hire 8 bodyguards that love to beat up assholes. Sign a couple autographs so I can eat my meals for free. I'm gonna dress my ass with the latest fashion. Get a front door key to the Playboy Mansion. Gonna date a Santa phone that loves to blow my money for me.
So how you gonna do it?
I'm gonna trade this life for fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with the bleached blonde hair. And we'll part out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's zoo. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. I'm gonna sing those songs that offend the senses. Gonna pop my pills from a best dispenser. Get washed up singers writing all my songs. Let's sing them every night so I don't get them wrong. Well, we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop houses driving 15 cars. Girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. We'll all stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna wind up there. Every playboy bunny with a bleached blonde hair. And we'll part out in the private rooms with the latest dictionary of today's who's who. They'll get you anything with that evil smile. Everybody's got a drug dealer on speed dial. Well, hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star. Hey, hey, I wanna be a rock star.
I'm so wrong.